Just an awesome time of year. Got MLB playoffs. They're talking Pac-12 basketball. Obviously into the teeth of conference play in football, NFL, you name it. It's upon us. Lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Seahawks off a bye. They've rebounded from that game one loss. Our guest, a returning champ, part of two powerhouse USC teams, 2003 and 2004, All-American, member of the 2005 Seahawks Super Bowl team, All-Pro, Pro Bowler. He is co-host of the Take 12 podcast on Twitter. It's at LofaTatupu51. Lofa, always great having you on the show. How's life in your world?
You know what? It's great. Just like you said, the Seahawks are rolling. My Trojans are rolling. I mean, it's raining outside, but it's sunny inside. That's all I got to say.
I like that. You know, let's start there with SC. 6-0, couple scares recently, and obviously after the way last season ended, some focus on Alex Grinch and the defense. No question you had to have an upgrade if they were going to contend for big things. So after six games, through that linebacker lens of yours, well, what's your take on the Southern California defense so far?
It's been tough to watch at times. You know, we had that one great game against Stanford where, you know, I feel like every phase played well, but the defense in particular. And but then you come and you see, I think, Washington, you know, or Oregon blew them out too. So it's like, all right, well, maybe they're just not that good. But, yeah, the last game, funny story. So I'm going to put my kids to bed. I paused the game. I was like, you know what, I'll put my kids to bed. I'll come back and enjoy this. There's like right. 5 minutes to go. I didn't realize there was 45 minutes to go because it was a triple overtime. And so I'm sitting down there with the sweat of my life, just like, you got to be kidding me. Not to Arizona, not at home. And so I was, yeah, I've been a little panicking lately in that regard, but we're learning to come away with a win. And you know what? Good teams find a way to win. Back, as you mentioned, the championship team of 2004, we had a couple close ones, Cal, Stanford, not known as powerhouses, but we found a way to win both of those games, trailing in the Stanford game by 11 even.
By the way, that could have made for one really long bedtime story. So, it's, you know, I want to get to Caleb Williams. You know, the great lineage, I don't have to tell you, from Carson Palmer on through to he. And I just get a little something extra with this guy. It's like nothing phases him. He'll savage you, pocket on the move in the face of a rush. What kind of separates him? What makes him so special?
His poise, just like you said, like nothing affects him. He's just very in the moment, ready for the next play, like not worried about what happened in the past, whether he throws a rare interception or he got hit about 10 times, three or four of them were late, even called penalties. And he just gets back up, dusts himself off, and makes a play, makes the next play. And, you know, I've been telling people this for 2 years now. If they moved him to running back, he would be a Heisman Trophy candidate running back. That's how good this kid is with his, he's so strong. The goal line play where the guy had him wrapped, he had him collared, right, and, you know, almost in a headlock and, like, down, he put his hand down, almost bench-pressed himself up, and carried the defender into the end zone. It was one of the most unbelievable plays I've seen out of any college kid, not just a quarterback.
And, of course, now they head for South Bend, and, you know, there are the conference venues, and I want to go back to 2003. You played at Jordan-Hare against Auburn, but Notre Dame Stadium, that history. What do you remember about taking the field that day and, in essence, at the risk of being crass, kind of kicking their ass sideways at their sold-out stadium?
Yeah, I remember, you know, it's everything that you build up in your mind in terms of prestige and tradition and everything you hope for. And they're going wild because they hate you, you know, so you love that, you know, back against the wall. And just I remember being very quiet after about the second quarter. So fond memories, tall grass. It was picturesque.
Let's get to the Seahawks, talking with Lofa Tatupu, the Take 12 podcast. So you played for Pete Carroll. We know the dynasty he built in college. You played for him your last year in the NFL. And so he's been in the with the Seahawks 13 years. He's only missed the playoffs three times. I mean, how he works in sync with his general manager. What is it about him when you think of one of three guys ever to win a national title and a Super Bowl? Just he always finds a path to success.
Yeah, I think that's just being true to himself. And almost with this culture change that we're seeing amongst college ball with Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, and like they're able to adapt and teach at another level because of the way they can connect with the younger players. Whereas, you know, we're seeing, I think, probably a little bit of the reverse with what's going on in Denver and New England. You know, some of these older coaches, I'm not sure if they know how to relate to these younger players. But so he's kind of come in stride, he's come to stride right at the right time. You know, he's always been ahead of his time in his teaching ability to connect to the players. And I think that's just, you know, it's really, like I said it when they moved on from Russ. Everybody's like, oh, you know, Pete's done, we're done. I was like, they built this dynasty together, Pete and John. I wouldn't be surprised if they built this again faster, because you've done it once. And so they know where they, you know, went wrong, which they didn't make many wrong decisions early on when they built the first dynasty. And so not to say this is a dynasty, but, I mean, to go right back to the playoffs after, you know, losing – the quarterback for 10 years, the star, you know, everything you hope for as a leader, that's tough. But, you know, also I would point to the players. You got veterans in wisdom at two key spots in Geno Smith and Bobby Wagner. And they're really leading this youth movement, and they're showing them how it's done, because they've been there before, both 10 and 12 years in, respectively.
You know, I want to talk about that Wilson trade, which at this point looks like felony hijacking. And, you know, they end up with the fifth overall pick, Devin Witherspoon. By the way, yep. As a lifelong Giants fan, yeah, I saw the pick six 2 weeks ago. You know, I know he missed the opener, but he had a big game against Carolina. What are you seeing already with this guy who, you know, he did play 4 years in the Big Ten?
Yeah. Well, I was there consulting with the Hawks in the offseason. I kind of helped with the draft process and then also coaching the linebackers. And so you could just see the way he practices, the way he approaches game. And he did not have a lot of time out there on the field because he was dealing with the hamstring issue that he had in college. So to see a guy live up to the number five hype, you know, this early, this fast, and what's crazy, with so much time missed of the offseason, and even some of the camp, like he missed the first game of the season, I think the second one too, but then get thrown out there, you know, to the Wolves, and they targeted him 11 times and 12 times in the first two games. He had, I think, maybe 8 or 10 tackles in each game, and then a couple pass breakups, and he was very close to an interception. The Carolina game, the receiver got away with a push off, and because he intercepted the angle, and he was right there, and the ref didn't call it, but he pushed him. The guy pushed Spoon down. But the Giants game, who plays outside, jumps into nickel, gets interception, goes 97 yards, has two sacks, has 10 tackles. Like, who does that in their third or fourth game? I think we're looking at one of the next very special players to play the game. And I mean, there's high praise, but even Troy Aikman was talking about it. He reminds him of Deion. I'm seeing shades. He's a little smaller, but Charles Woodson is what comes to mind in terms of the athlete, the ability to change gears mentally and move inside and play nickel. That is a tough spot for a guy that's never played there. He's never played there. So it's unbelievable. You know, a testament to the coaching. I got to give them credit for getting him ready without the physical snaps. But his ability, and he's fearless. I think that's the main thing. I've already seen him have two or three, you know, kill shots on guys, put one guy out of the game. He plays with reckless abandon, just like how you're supposed to play the game.
Now, speaking of the defense, this is season 2 under Clint Hurt. and they've improved from last year. We mentioned Witherspoon. You mentioned Bobby Wagner. I think what's gone a little under the radar, especially nationally, was the signing of Julian Love. By the way, a Notre Damer, had a good 2022 for the Giants, had the big fumble recovery. I you know, this wasn't one of those signings that kind of stopped SportsCenter, but well, what about the impact this guy's made?
Oh, my God. He's a field general. And we already have one right there in Diggs. But the less communicating Diggs has to do, the better, you know, the easier it is on him and the more he can make plays and free up and communicate to one half of the defense instead of all of it. You know, I've had the burden of that, you know, before, communicate the front end and the back end and make sure everybody's, you know, on assignment and alignment. And you got, you know, you can never have enough leaders. And like you said, he was a captain over there. I couldn't believe they let this guy out of the door. And you know, they're probably wishing they hadn't right now. I was at that game in New York, and actually, great point that you just brought up, Julian Love. Guess who hustled down there? Not that this guy was going to catch, the receiver was going to catch Spoon, but guess who hustled down there and threw that final block, just kind of pushed him out of the way to make sure Spoon could coast in there. That was Julian Love.
Wow. Well, at that point, I was curled up in a ball in the corner, so I might have missed that one. Couple final thoughts for Lofa Tatupu. Brings you the Take 12 podcast. You know, prior to 2022, this was kind of a team, they couldn't keep a back healthy. Enter Kenneth Walker. Then in this draft, UCLA's Zach Charbonnet. A little more usage, I guess, the past couple games. And, you know, I don't have to tell you, with Pete Carroll, he wants to run the ball. What are you seeing about the potential of this 1-2 punch?
Oh, my God. It's, you know, they can both do everything, you know, catch out of the backfield, run the ball, most importantly, and with an aggressive downhill style. You know, like we've always – Pete's always been trying to get back to another beast mode. Well, there's only one beast, but, you know, you find guys that fit the profile and the style of the aggressive downhill nature. And then, yeah, make a couple guys miss here and there, but that brings a level of attitude. When Marshawn joined our team in 2010, he lifted everybody up, as he did every year he was with the Hawks, because, you know, as a linebacker, I'll be damned if I'm going to let the running back get the best hit in the game running over somebody else, you know. Like every time he went hard, we went harder, because it was just back and forth, and that kind of internal competition was great for the whole team. But Walker, man, they split him out wide. You see him catch that ball against Carolina. It was unbelievable. Charbonnet, he's great, really tough, great at pass protection too. So when he's in there, could be a draw, could be a screen. Like, you don't know, and that kind of guessing keeps defenses off balance. So it's exciting to see, because that sets up the amazing pass and aerial assault with DK and Lockett. And then, you know, eventually, once we get some guys healthy, we'll probably see a little more of JSN, who he's awesome too.
The last thing I want to get to is this week's opponent. I mean, everybody had Cincinnati as a contender, but that preseason injury to Burrow, you could just see it was limiting, I should say. But, man, he had kind of a breakout game. You know, they've got some weapons, Jamar Chase. What about Burrow in this offense? Will have the attention of this Seattle defense?
They're obviously pretty pass heavy, but they can still run the ball with Mixon. And I mean, so I think being able to stay balanced, that's what makes it so hard, you know, especially on a coordinator, kind of like say, all right, well, you know, they can go off tendency, where most teams tend to stick to tendency, like, you know, percentage wise, 70% run, 30 pass, whatever it is. Like, you can get into that guessing game when they're so like 50-50 at any area in the field, backed up, middle of the field, red zone. And so I think that's what's most dangerous, because Joe Burrow, he knows what he's seeing when he surveys the defense, and he can check to any play call. I'm sure they give him autonomy to do whatever he wants up there, what he sees, and then all he has to do is come back and give coach information and say, okay, well, then we're going to do this. But that's what makes him so scary. Then the weapons, you said, Jamar Chase, they had T. Higgins was out. They still got Tyler Boyd. The other guy, was it Irwin or whatever? He came in and got like 8 catches and 60 yards. So it's like there was no like shortage of receivers there. And I think that's going to be kind of the matchup, because we can stop the run, and they're not, you know, great at running the ball yet. They give them the attempts. They give Mixon close to 15 plus touches. But They haven't really had a signature 100-yard performance yet. He's been over 60 yards in almost every game, but no 100-plus like we're used to seeing out of him, but using him other ways with the check down. And so we'll be tested this week. I really feel like this is going to be a back-and-forth game.
Folks, he's Lofa Tatupu, always generous enough with his time and insight to enhance our radio program. His Twitter handle at Lofa Tatupu 51. The podcast is called Take 12. On Twitter, it's at Take12Pod. Can't miss for you Seahawk fans here in town. Hey, Lofa, always great having you. Always appreciate your unique lens. Wishing you and the family well. And, of course, look forward to catching up again later in the season.
Absolutely, my man. I appreciate you. And one more thing about SC Notre Dame. Two more things about SC Notre Dame real quick.
Go ahead.
So, one, I'm kind of scared of this matchup because coming off an emotional triple overtime win, it's a horrible setup when the opposing team, which is a big-time rival of yours, is at home and they just got their butts kicked, handed to them over, you know, in Louisville. And two, don't forget this, folks, Rudy was offside.
I love it. You're the best, Lofa. Thanks a lot, man. Be well.
All right. Take care. Stay blessed.
Take it easy.